My name is Kevin. Welcome to my podcast. Obviously, it's like my podcast from like the name.
Kevin's.
No? Okay. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how environment is crucial to influencing your behavior. And consequently, how can you design your environment for success? I don't remember which year or day it was. All I remember is that I was really tiny, probably 12 and below, and it was at night. Now, I had just been sleeping. I'd probably slept for like 5 hours or 6 or so hours. And in the middle of the night, I felt my bladder tickling me. There was so much pressure in there. I needed to drain my pipe. And so I remember getting out of bed. I was really, I used to be really scared of the dark. But at this particular time, I actually felt good walking in the dark. And this is so interesting. I got out of my bed and I stepped right on the floor. Obviously, when you're stepping on the skies. Anyway, so I step on the cold floor. I'm walking outside to get to the washroom. And on this particular time, I didn't even put on the lights. I was like, I got this. I know my way. Truth be told, I knew my way. So I grab for the door, open it. I walk across the hall, get into the washroom. And then something interesting was happening in that washroom. So for some reason, there was like a twinkling light in the toilet bowl, upo chini. There was like a light that was shimmering. Okay, is that from like the reflection of the moon? I don't know, right? But there was some sort of light. There was a nice vibe. It's like the moon was hitting the window and, you know, it was reflecting off from the, or bouncing off of the toilet water. So disgusting, but you know, you get the vibe, you know? And so I'm getting ready to pee and I'm lowering my shorts. At that time, I used to lower my shorts till ankle size or my pants till ankle level so that I can, you know, have all the freedom and really extricate myself from the shackles of my pants. So anyway, I'm getting ready to pee. And as I'm peeing, I hear this melodious music. It's like sound of angels, literally. And it's like, okay, my vocals are a bit damaged or messed up, but you get the vibe, you know. And then it felt so good. I naturally shut my eyes. You know, it was like such a vibe, and I could feel the blood flowing in my veins, and somehow there were birds chirping outside. And I think I closed my eyes long enough. By the time I was opening them, I realized I was in my bed and my mattress was dripping with urine. I just woken up from a nightmare. That was a nightmare, by the way, because it kept on coming every single night. And people used to ask me, why do you pee or wet your bed? And I tell them, listen, it's because of a dream. It's not because I have a problem with my bladder. Listen, in the dream, I literally always go to the toilet. But for some reason, I do it in my bed. So it's not me, all right? It's my dream. I know where I'm supposed to be. It's just the dream that is influencing all this. There's a habit I started doing. And I remember I used to have my guitar in my closet, right? And when the pandemic struck, I used to have so much time, you know, just staying in the house and doing online classes. Literally, you're not moving. The time that you die to the others moving to a class is when you're on your break, right? And so I used to remove my guitar and strum it and just play it. And so I started this habit of placing it on my bed. Instead of, you know, putting it back in the bag and, you know, locking it in my closet or something, I just used to place it on top of my bed. And I realized every day I placed it on top of my bed, I used to be prompted to play it more often than I would have if it were in my closet, right? And these two stories are very significant. So I talked about the one where I used to wet my bed like crazy. Bro, you should have seen me. I'm smiling and I'm wetting my bed. And then I wake up mid-drainage. And you know you can't hold when you've already started. God, it used to be so embarrassing. So it was so interesting because every time I peed in bed, I had gone to the toilet, but in my dreams. Get my point? Like every time I peed my bed, I have never been in a situation where I peed my bed. And this, by the way, this kitamon, I don't do it anymore. Unless I dream, which I always dream before I, you know, even sleep, right? But every time I did it, it was because I I dreamt that I was headed to actually, you know, drain my pipe in the toilet. And so the environment or that car washroom setting was very crucial to ensure that, you know, my bladder is tickled well. Like my subconscious knows, bro, this guy cannot pee in the bed without being prompted. Let us create an environment that suits that. Same thing to me playing my guitar as often. You find yourself, you played your guitar like 5 times in a day, and there's a time you used to go like for a week without playing that thing. It's because the aspect of seeing the guitar, the cue in your environment, the cue, right? Like the guitar prompts you to play because it's a cue in your environment that really influences your behavior. So you'll pick it up and play, right? Now, I read this from one of my favorite books, and I think I've talked about it immensely. It's called The Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I'd advise, please go check it out, because this is like the tiniest part of that book. There's so much. But I think it's important because this is something that we can relate to. This is something that we can all work on. So one thing he says in that book is that the environment is the invisible hand that shapes behavior. And I remember when I was reading this, I was like, bro, what are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about? And he uses this weird analogy. Most of the time, we tend to think that we are in control of what we are doing. Like we are in control of what we choose to do. So for example, if you go to the supermarket and choose water over Coca-Cola, you'd think you're genuinely in control. But most of the times we take an action is because of the cues in our environment, right? The cues in our environment that prompt us to do it. You will never read a book if it only remains on your shelf in a Kua shelf help instead of self-help from Jim Quick. Most of the time, the actions we take are most likely prompted by our environment more times than we think they are. So it's not a matter of like, a purposeful drive or like a choice. It's more of like this environmental setting prompted you to do that. We generally sense our environment, or as human beings, we perceive our environment through, you know, senses like sight, touch, taste, and smell, right? But here's the interesting thing. Sight is more powerful than all other senses, right? And it's very interesting. Like sight is, we have like, I was reading this research that was saying we have over 11 million or approximately 11 million sensory receptors. But 10 million of these are responsible for your vision. So 10 million are dedicated to your sight. So given that, you know, sight is this powerful, it only makes sense that it's a great influence to our behavior. And that's why, you know, supermarkets will use that. That's why marketing agencies will use sight like crazy. A good example of how senses really prompt us to everything. It really explains why, the idea of drinking more in social settings. So you're in a restaurant, you get into this car restaurant, there's like some chilled music in the background, you're seeing your friends, your buddies, your nini, unakomesema tu naenda kunywa kachupa kamoja, right? Or one glass of wine and I'm done. I've seen this in movies, it's not from experience. So you go there and you're like familiar faces, the music in the background, pale kwa kwenye bartender na bartend, apo tu nyuma yake. Options, brands over brands, zikopo on display. That prompts you to simply just, you know, get to drinking. we're in a setting that allows us to do that. A very good example is like in church. You get into church, you find yourself whispering. Hakuna mtu amekwambia bro, ukiwapo whisper, but you will find yourself naturally whispering. For some of us, mkiingia kwa shower, man, inakwambianga too, it's time to exercise your vocal range. You know, because that environment prompts you to do it. The main point here that I'm trying to make you see is that building good habits, and I've talked about building and breaking good and bad habits. You can check it out on my blog at minermind.wordpress.com. Please go check it out. It will help you immensely. You know, building habits is less about self-control. You know, people always saying, you know, if you want to break that bad habit, you gotta have self-control. If you want to stop watching pornography, you have to have self-control. If you want to stop smoking, you have to have self-control. breaking bad habits is less about having self-control and more about changing your environment. So stop looking at your environment as if it's just an environment with meaningless objects, and start looking at it as an environment with cues to your behavior. You can trust me, if I have a newspaper right on my desk in front of my eyes, even though I didn't plan to read that newspaper, I'll just be prompted to, you know, hold it and read. Really, whatever really is around you, stop looking at it as if meaningless objects and look at them as cues. That will help you when you're not talking about redesigning your environment, so that it really helps you to build habits easier. So remember, it's less about the self-control. If you tell someone who's a chronic smoker who wants to stop smoking ati to have self-control, alafu unampeleka kwa smoking zone. In fact, imeandikwa hapo, smokers only. No, unampeleka. Bro, what will stop him from grabbing for smoke? You just need to put a chronic smoker who's trying to stop smoking. You just need to put them in a situation where they will smoke. Put them under stress, utaona. They'll grab for a cigarette, you know. Take them to a smoking zone. They will. Atakama umse ame abstain for 5 years. And that's why you see sometimes you have really worked on a habit for like months and months. And then just takes one day to slip up. I talked about this in my blog. And again, you can check it out. There's something that they did in, I don't know, it's 19 what? Gosh, please check out the blog. It has all the details there. But there was this researcher who was conducting a research on US troops. It was again 19 something uko. And at around this time, they realized that the Marine troops in the US, they were addicted to heroin. I think it was heroin or cocaine. Like deep, deep stuff, right? When they're at war, you know, obviously stress and whatnot. So they were addicted. A lot of them were addicted to this. A really huge percentage were addicted to this drugs while in service or while in the army. And then there was something interesting that they realized, that whenever these US troops went back home, only say, I think 15 or 10% of the huge amount of guys who are addicted would get back into the habit or would get back into consumption of these drugs. The fact that they were removed from that environment, it's like the day their tenure ended, immediately they were removed from that environment of war and whatnot. It's like immediately it shifted and they got rid of a habit that was, you know, tainting them. So this researcher discovered, and really, because at that time it was like, if you're addicted to cocaine, it's permanent. You cannot get rid of it. And so he was demystifying that aspect, so that to stop deluding people to think that, oh, me, yes, I'm started, I cannot stop. No, he was demystifying that rumor. And so he found out it was less about self-control. It was more about the environment that they're in. Right. So you might find, and this has happened to me, sometimes I find it hard to work out in school than I do at home. And it's not because, you know, I don't love working out. I do. And I struggle when I change my environment. I struggle a lot to like find a place where, or find timings where I can really get into that mode of working out. Because at home, really, I'm in my room. I have my working out gear right there. I'm running around here because there's a nice place to run around. So it's easier for me to be prompted to run than when I'm in a school setting where I'm literally walking KU like a nonsense, going to class. Why am I even motivated to work out? So it's less about, again, self-control and more about your environment. So the question is, how then do I design my environment to help me succeed in terms of my behaviors, in terms of my bad habits, in terms of building good habits and breaking bad habits? Because again, some of us are victims of our environments and we don't know. Try this. If you're trying to like eat healthier, why don't you try put a bowl of, say, fruits on your table, and you see how many times you'll be picking up and taking them, rather than them being in the store, in the fridge or something. If you want to read more, why don't you place that book on your desk? Just eat. Let it just be there, and you'll see what will happen. If you want to maybe say think more creatively, why don't you go create something outside? Why don't you go to a bigger room? Why don't you go to a rooftop? Because it will help you create better. So it's just about you changing your environment and realizing that. So sometimes you'll find yourself, and especially right now since there's COVID and you know, we are working from home or you're studying from home, you need to designate certain areas in your house, and this is very important, where, or in your room or wherever you're working from, where
you know, it's high intensity work area. So he plays ainanga gadgets. He plays ainanga any type of distraction. Ukifikapo, it's just hits your head like, bro, we're in a working station, so we are doing this. Similarly, create places where you know they're strictly for entertainment. Like, it could be like when you sit on the couch in the living room, that's a cue for you to genuinely binge on Netflix. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Instead of you saying, I'll watch Netflix tonight in my bed, then you kind of contradict, because the bed is supposed to be the cue for you to sleep, right? Again, if you're trying to have better sleep and whatnot, the bed's supposed to be a cue for you to sleep. So if you're watching movies in your bed, then it only gets tougher to sleep, because again, you're tainting that environment. James says that it's really hard to try and develop new habits in old environments that already have old cues, right? So there are cues that maybe, say you're trying to say, we'll try not to check our phone as regular, but yet again, you normally check your phone when you sit at your desk and it's always next to your, say, working station, like right next to whatever you're working on. Then if you're trying to build the habit of not checking your phone, then it's harder because, again, that's an old environment with old cues, yet you're trying to build a new habit. It makes a big difference if you took that one cue away, the mobile phone, if you took it away and put it in another room. It's just like the way people wake up and the first thing they do is check their phone. I mean, that's genuinely messed up, man. Stop. I'm talking to you. Stop checking your phone every morning when you wake up. Put it away. Put it somewhere far where, and put a loud alarm. Ikiliona, you have to get out of your bed and walk to it. And put off the alarm and start doing something, something that will help you. So remember, it's really less about self-control. When you look at stuff and you're wondering, man, how do they keep working out every day? Something that I noticed my dad used to do every time before he would work out is like he'd place his training shoes right at the door so that it would prompt him to run, right? Because with them there, that's a cue that, bro, you need to start running at around 5 p.m. Get out of here, right? So you set out your environment to just prompt you to work out and do it. The environment, again, is an invisible hand that shapes your behavior. And that's it. That's it from this episode. I hope that you really get the gist of it. You can trust that I will have an article on this as well so that I can give you the depth and, you know, the studies that have been done and whatnot that will help you. You can check that out at minormind.wordpress.com. That's my blog that will really help you. You can also check my other site that is called andresmind.wordpress.com. This is where I write loads of fiction and creative writing. We had another one that I wrote, I think, about a week ago, which was really good, well received. But really, genuinely, I hope this episode helped you, to give you some insight. May not be perfect, but gives you some insight on some things. I want to thank you before I leave, because you guys have been amazing streaming the podcast. You are really, if you see a boy getting consistent, then you know the motivation is coming from you. But more from him. So yes, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I wish you all the best in your endeavors. Please share this podcast if you can. Screenshot. Tag me on your stories. Tell people to listen, and exactly where you want them to listen. Or even better, you know, listen and then go teach someone and then tell them to listen. You know, it's like you're teaching them. Do that. You know what I mean. Take care of yourselves. Until next time. Goodbye.